Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
This is episode 2 of Valk's Valley, our Golden State Valkyries podcast. Now, what we've decided to do is we've decided to split up Valk's Valley and the Death lineup. So instead of one podcast, we're going to have two basketball podcasts here. Kind of easier now that the Warriors are out of the playoffs and we're not going to be talking about as much about them. And it is Valkyrie season, but the two podcasts will be a little bit shorter. We were usually running about 45 to 50 minutes for a full Death lineup. And now we'll have two 20 to 30 minute-ish episodes of Valk's Valley and the Death lineup in the BSPN feed. Firstly, I just want to thank the folks who have given us some feedback on the Ustay interview. And Bri, you've had about 4 days to practice how to pronounce her last name. Where are you at with the pronunciation? Because I have one for you, but it's still not great.
I mean, I heard yours, and I'm like, I just still fall back on, like, I would like to hear it correctly in person. Doesn't even need to be from her, just whoever she certifies as having it down. Just I need to hear that in person and try to replicate it.
So but do you have an attempt though?
I said same thing as I said last week. I have listened to it since then too, and I'm just like,
so you don't think my Yotite is fantastic?
Like, it could be onto something, but I think there's a little sound there that in like the Lithuanian way of correctly saying it that we,
yeah, there's something correctly. That my tongue and top of my mouth and teeth don't actually do together as well as her pronunciation. So what about feedback? Have you gotten feedback on the interview at all?
Yeah, I mean, all good things. I think my buddy was like, oh, I didn't expect her to be like, because he knew like some background of what I told him. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, she was born in the States, but she was raised in Lithuania. And he was just like, I didn't realize she'd be so Lithuanian in terms of the way she like sounded. I was like, dude, mm-hmm. She like lived her whole life there.
Like, well, her parents were pretty smart, right? Her parents were pretty smart to wait until she was born to move so that she could have the
dual citizenship.
Yeah, so that was really smart. It's been really positive on my end too. I think what comes out of it is just that she's a young professional and she's making her way, and you know, she does not want to, she, even though she's not playing for the Valkyries this year, and she said that in the interview, it was a dual decision by both parties, her and the team, that they would draft her and she would stay and not play in the U.S. in 2025. But at the same time, if you're Ustay, you don't want the local fans to forget about you. You want them to anticipate your arrival, and you want them to kind of maybe even check in on how she's doing in Eurobasket and the other leagues that she's playing in. And I think the benefit is next year, and we do have to wait a little while, when the Valkyries have one of the top three or four picks, whomever they bring in, and if Yusei comes over, like is the plan, you have two really, really high-level prospects to add to your roster in 2026, which is going to be really interesting. And, you know, and then the CBA is going to change, and who knows, this just the CBA in general changing could affect whether people come out or not, because we saw a lot of people who we thought possibly would come out, like Olivia Miles and AZ Fudd, and they just decided to hang out and stay in college and maybe win a title. But the monetary aspect of it is just not there for them to, you know, give up what they're doing and their lifestyle currently. So maybe the CBA does change that a little bit in the future, which could be beneficial for the Valkyries and also beneficial for the other expansion teams coming.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk about their first W. You were in the building last night, Valkyries and the Mystics. And I will admit, I'm watching this game and I'm just thinking, okay, they're close, but Washington's about to make a run and they're going to put this thing. It's going to be similar to the Sparks game. They actually make the run much earlier in the game than I thought was going to happen. They went on like a 17-0 run or something crazy like that. But then the Valkyries just started chipping away. But even late in the game, I still thought, okay, they have gave a great effort. They showed a lot of savvy, a lot of guile. They have some players who opened some eyes last night. But at the end of the day, the Mystics have Brittany Sykes, and the Mystics have outside shooting in the case of Sonia Citron. And eventually that's going to be the demise of the Valkyries. And Veronica Burton was like, I am going to close this game out. I am going to be Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler all at the same time. I'm going to slow this game down in the second half to move the pace back to our advantage. And when need be, I'm going to put them in night-night mode. She didn't actually do night-night, but I know you saw the fans all doing it when she hit the three to kind of put the game out of reach. And I was just like, wow, what a fun moment. That crowd was going nuts. You were there. Bring us to the moment. Bring us to the live crowd and just all the fans going nuts when Veronica Burton hit that shot.
Yeah, so I went with my buddy, and I'm very glad that he was down to go, because I was not going to go by myself and I couldn't find anyone to go with. And he was like, I'm down. So we went, and I was kind of hyping it up like, dude, it kind of reminds me a little bit of like kind of Oracle back in the day of just, you know, kind of just going nuts for anything and everything. And of course, the diversity within the crowd, it feels much more like Oracle than like current Chase, with just all the tech heads at the front row. It looks, you know, way more of a variety, which is, you know, something I'm much more comfortable in. So I was just kind of getting them ready, like, hey, it's just a lot. They just go nuts. Like, it's just a really fun environment. And I'd say first quarter did not have that. And that's just because people are still funneling into the building. This was actually the earliest I've ever gotten to a game. And I still sat at my seat at like the 6 minute mark in the first quarter. And that was the earliest I've gotten to go, you know, in the three games that there's been. So by the second quarter, I think fans were into it. And then Tiffany catches a headbutt to the face. Ooh. And then I feel like that from that moment forward, like I think it just timing wise lined up like that. But it was pretty good energy in terms of cheering and you know, keeping the vibes up. They do such a good job, man. The in arena people, like, just these innovative games and stuff that, like, I just haven't seen it like an NBA college type of venue, but they do for this WNBA team. I'm just like, this is cool. This is creative. So shout out to
them. Who were the celebs in the crowd on game two? I don't imagine Ali Wong was there. I don't imagine E-40 was there. I saw Pods. I think Jordan Poole was in the audience. Who else was there for game two?
I think so. Jess Smith, who of course is going to be there every game, but she basically took the Kuminga Kerr seat right next to Lacob. And Jess Smith is the president of this team or something like that. And so JP was basically sitting across court side from Pods. And then Tara Vanderveer was there.
She was actually on commentary for some of the second quarter, I think.
Yeah, I got to listen to that back. She teased a book. I forget if that's the one that you know,
Michelle's
working on herself or that Michelle's working on.
Yeah, I kind of thought about that too. We have to reach out to Michelle and see what the story is.
Yeah. But other than those three, I didn't. Oh, USC coach Lindsey Gottlieb was there as well. She was like kind of like silently there almost. I didn't see any cameras. I only saw one Instagram story that the WNBA reposted, and it's just like her with maybe I'm assuming her kid or something. But
and obviously for Kiki because she coached Kiki at the end.
Yep, there. And Tara was there for Kiki as well. But of course Tara's local market, but she wasn't there for opening night, so I've got to imagine it was more of a Kiki decision to show up. But yeah, two very important coaches. Two, you know, Tara's retired now, but Lindsey, best three team in the country, in the nation.
I was joking before the Valkyries actually named their coach. When you and I were talking about this, I was like, they're going to bring Tara Vanderveer out of retirement. She's going to be the first coach. Obviously, she wasn't, but it was just the only name that really I thought about. But it was cool seeing her because we saw her at the tournament that we went to at Chase. What was that? That was around what? Christmas time? What time was that?
It was like December, the Invisalign Bay Area Women's Classic.
Yeah, and so we got to see her hanging out, just getting burgers.
What they didn't do for JP, which I thought they should have done, they would have done, is that in the fourth quarter of the first game is when they started kind of doing rapid fire of look at all these celebrities in the building and everyone would give an applause. They did it in the fourth quarter for this game. JP was already gone. I think he left by like the end of the third or something. But I really do wonder if the pop for JP, I'm so sorry, Brandon, but if it'd be a bigger pop than for Pods, I think it might just maybe because he hasn't been there in a while and he won a championship with them and the way he kind of was forced out in a way, like I wonder if that would have been a bigger pop. But I was kind of hoping he'd stick around for that, but he was already gone.
All right, so I want to talk about a player who you have been telling us about. Her name is Janelle Salon, and she debuted. And she started her first game on
hit the first two buckets, right?
Last night. Yeah, hit some like grown woman buckets too. Just like give me the rock. I'm going right to the hole. I'm scoring. Give me the rock. I'm gonna hit this little turnaround jumper. I'm scoring. I thought it was I was like, man, she's about to put up 50 tonight. Didn't happen that way exactly. But let's talk about her because there are things that she can do with the basketball.
Yeah.
That not a lot of people on that team can do. She's also very tall. She's athletic, though. Her foot speed isn't like fast, but she can just do a bunch of things, you know, when she's got the basketball. She runs long.
Yeah.
I was just very impressed just watching her maneuver around the court, not even really doing anything with basketball. The shot was a little off. She was trying to force a couple things. I think there were a couple of, you know, we saw this with KD where the team is actually struggling a bit and you're like, okay, I got this. We just need a bucket. I'm going to get this bucket. And she didn't make those shots necessarily, but she felt like she was the one to shoot them. And so what do we know about her? And what, after watching game one, what is your expectation? Because your brother, my son, he texted us right when this game started, and he's like, she's their best player. And he only saw the two possessions that had happened. And
he's watched about like every game, I'd say. I made him watch a few of the preseasons. But yeah, I saw that right away, and I was like, I swear, I've been saying it on this podcast that she's going to come through. I wasn't expecting the start, but it makes sense. She was a starter for that French team that got silver in the Olympics. She was a starter for them. Like, you know, she's 23 years old. She's the real deal. I'm trying to look at her contract. If she's on a rookie scale, since it's her rookie season, or if she just signed like, it's like a reserve. Okay, it looks like it's just a reserved, or she just signed a 1-year unprotected contract. So next year it'd be a reserved free agent. I don't know what a reserved free agent is because it's not a restricted free agent. I'd have to look that up. But 23 years old, has played in the Italian league, went to the finals, won the finals, won the Italian league finals MVP with her team spelt S C-H-I-O. It's just some city in Italy. Scio. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to, I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation. I think she's playing for like the Czech league next year in the Czech Republic, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But man, she just looks like 3-and-D, but when she looks, I agree with you that it's not like, you know, uber quick, but she's kind of, when I was watching her put the ball on the floor, she was creating the advantage against her matchup every single time. And she's 6'3", mm-hmm. like I'm saying, which is like Asia Wilson height. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Asia's like 6'4", 6'3". Kiki's like 6'3", 6'4". So it's like in that height range of your, you know, prototypical power forwards that run the league. And, you know, she's got like the shot that I was comfortable with her taking, not I'm comfortable with her taking whatever shot, but what I was comfortable or noticed watching when I'd watch tape of her before she joined the team, when she was playing overseas, is that kind of like a Dirk fadeaway, one leg fadeaway from the mm-hmm. free throw line. She takes that a lot and it looked good the couple times she took it. Not everyone went in, but shots kind of looking like a little like Jimmy Butler line drive-ish.
Yes.
But man, she's good. Just if you can create that advantage, just being quicker than your opponent, creating the advantage, like you don't have many players on this team who can create the advantage like that. And, you know, then you draw two and you kick, which I would say, like, I'm keeping an eye on the playmaking. It kind of felt like she, I don't know if she's used to being the best player on her team. She did just win finals MVP, but I don't know if she's used to being like, here, you have way more offensive responsibility than maybe you're used to, because she's supposed to be, you know, like, you know, that Dirk fadeaway shot, a lot of 3-and-D stuff, but I don't know if she's supposed to be like a number one, you know, but, and not to say she was last night, but I felt like a player like Veronica Burton getting going almost not as a direct result, but as a result of, you know, someone on the other team or someone on her team was creating an advantage and had to be like kind of looked at. And like, you can't like, you know, we don't want Janelle to really get going and not to, you know, Veronica's game was awesome, but I don't know. I just think Janelle provides a dimension of on offense to this team that they're not used to having, that Janelle might not be used to having that responsibility of. You know, I was texting you and I think JJ of like, poor Kate Martin, like, you know, she is like a 3-and-D player that, you know, she needs space. You know, she's not going to create advantages. She's the player that you give the ball to after the advantage is created, but no one on this team creates advantages, so she's not getting any open looks. And yeah, you know, she needs to find other ways to contribute, because she's been a pretty consistent minus across the board. But you know, now that we have someone who can create an advantage, you know, of course, like we said last podcast, multiple podcasts, you stay someone who creates an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you know, I think Janelle's the real deal. And I think that if an expansion draft were to happen right now, who's the 6 or 7 we protect? You probably say Janelle's name first, you know.
She's absolutely someone you protect. But here's my question: why didn't she get drafted this year?
I don't know how that stuff works in terms of her declaring for a draft or not, because she is 23 years old. She would have been draft eligible when she was 20. I don't know if it was see that type of international stuff. I'm like never sure if it's never sure of like the correct. You know, she had to submit her name to the draft. Maybe she just chose not to. I know you listen to the Athletic Women's Basketball podcast. Mm-hmm. Ben has literally been singing her praises for the past year of just saying like the Valkyries got to steal, the Valkyries got to steal. So that's kind of what inspired me to also look into her even more.
Ben Pickman, but, you mean?
Yeah, Ben Pickman. He's on the money. So, yeah, it's just, she's going to be, if she started in her first game after having no training camp, no preseason, comes in the day before the first ever game and she starts by the second game, she's your starter for the rest of the year. She doesn't.
Well, there was a CBS Sportsline article, and I forgot to look at who's the reporter, but they had asked Natalie about like, how are you going to watch her minutes? Cause she just got out of a season, and Natalie's like, she's in shape. Like, yeah, so she doesn't have to get in shape. She's already in shape, but you do have to monitor her minutes for the wear and tear. And the broadcast yesterday with Jacob, Toby, and what's Morgan's last name again? Morgan
starts with an R.
Yeah, I think that it like might be even it might even rhyme. Morgan Reagan.
Yeah, that sounds right.
By the way, they're getting. Chemistry-wise, they're starting to put it together. I didn't enjoy the two preseason games as much, and I know there was some weirdness with that delay game where they weren't actually in the building and they were calling it from a studio, what it seemed like. But two games in, I think they're doing a pretty good job. So shout out to them. They were talking about how they were watching that she was on a time restriction. But then late in the game when it was winning time, they had said that
she had to play.
She had 26 minutes already, so maybe the minutes restriction thing kind of got thrown out the window because they wanted to win the game, which is...
I think Natalie sensed the moment that they can get this one.
Yeah.
And I think they went for it. And, you know, how I said last podcast with, like, I feel like you need to, you know, you don't have a typical clutch lineup. You know, you might have to sub in fresh bodies, which is not, you know, a common thing when it comes to clutch time. You want to roll with your 5-6. And, you know, ride it out till the end of the game. But the Valkyries 5-6 is never going to be better than the other team's 5-6. But they did basically just do that tonight. They basically just ran 5-6. I believe it was Carla. Julie was on the bench. I don't know what was going on with there.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
She might have been too hyped.
I don't know. Like Tiffany, I looked at the WNBA does this cool thing where I'm on this tab right now looking at everyone's rotation, and it looks like Julie subbed in around close to the end of the first, gets subbed out before the end of the first. So she doesn't even close the quarter after coming in at the end of the quarter. Then she comes back in around the time when Tiffany goes down, and then she starts the second half, plays almost the entire third quarter, and then just never comes back in. It was a weird type of rotation. You know, part of that's probably because Tiffany goes down and makes it all weird, but you know, someone who had such a good game one to not really feel like see the any substantial, I guess playing the entire third almost is good minutes, but still.
Well, but you saw kind of what Veronica Burton did, which is
she slowed
the game down. She made sure their possessions counted. They didn't shoot it early in the shot clock. They made sure to run their offense. And Van Loo was kind of doing the opposite. She was like sprinting down the court, like running everything hard. And then they would end up with some wonky three that goes back the other way. So I think it was mostly that, just the pace. And I think you had mentioned to me offline or before the show, maybe even yesterday, that this was the team that didn't protect her. So she may have been a little bit pumped for the game. And maybe that worked against her in that way because she was fired up. Like she's just the energizer bunny, man. Like she's just constantly on the go, go, go. And which makes her very fun to watch. But then she came out and like she missed her first two or three three-pointers like really badly, like really wide. And then
shot clock stuff. But Carla, that not her fault, but yeah.
Carla, who provides a similar energy, what did she do? She started hitting her corner three, and that cemented those minutes for
her. Did she? How many did she hit?
She at least hit one late. That was a big shot for them.
I think she did hit one late, yeah.
But
yeah, she
kept, also
the thing is, like, that's why that was my confusion with, like, the decision to, you know, I'm a big Carla fan. I want to see Carla minutes, but for Carla to already close the game like that, you know, where you could have gone Julie Veronica, but instead you go Veronica Carla. I was like, I thought that was a really interesting
I mean, it would have been Tiffany if Tiffany didn't get hurt, but she got hurt. So,
but I almost think you might be onto something there with Julie kind of demanding more of an on ball. She's who she is. She's a playmaker. So, you know, Carla. Although Carla is someone who probably is better with the ball in her hands, like, she's just a rookie figuring things out. She's not going to demand the ball from Veronica. So
she got her nose busted too. She was bleeding. She takes Carla's some hard falls, man.
Carla's on the ground every single game, but she did take a shot. Another thing I want, like, do we think that? And I've multiple thoughts that are scattered about this game. I'm trying to bring them all together, but in the first game and in the second game, you have Kelsey Plum breaking a record for most points in a season opener at 38. Mm-hmm. And then tonight or last night, something in the 30s. And then last night you have Brittany Sykes, what'd she go for, 30 or 32 or something?
Brittany Sykes had, she had 30, exactly.
So my question is, and I think I have a little bit of an answer, but do we have bad guard defense, or are we just happening to run into players on, you know, a first W, all W team type of trajectory? And I think it's a little bit of both. I think Brittany Sykes coming off of that unrivaled season, like, I had her in fantasy last year and she was just kind of injured throughout most of the year, but she's able to stay on the court. She is good. I don't know if you've, like, the one thing I notice when I always see her is just when people, like, have insane wingspans. She has an insane wingspan, like the Moses Moody, like, you know, like, great on-ball defender because of it. And, you know, I think Brittany Sykes is a bucket, and I think she's really good. And I don't know if you saw any of the jawing back and forth between her and Pods. I was like, what the hell is Pods even saying? That's another conversation that Pods gets too on the court, man. He thinks he's in the damn game. And I'm like, dude, you're going to get in trouble, making me uncomfortable while I'm watching. But yeah, I think there's a little bit of both, that we don't have, like, maybe the best guard defense. And I'm wondering, like, now that you have Janelle there, can you put Kayla on the guards? Because when they played the LA, I want to say they put Kayla on De'Erica Hamby, who kind of had more of a muted performance, which is why Kelsey was able to go off. She was being guarded probably by, like, Veronica, Kate Martin, and a few others. But, you know, I was like, now that they have Janelle to guard that position, I wonder if they could put Kayla on the perimeter. And I don't know. Like, maybe, you know, it's a mix of both, that they don't have the correct personnel to defend that position, and those players, that Kelsey and Brittany Sykes, might be on a mission this season.
The thing about what you were talking about, why the guards are playing so well against the Valkyries, I wonder how much of it has to do with just the bad three-point shooting, because these long rebounds come off and they create fast break opportunities, and you see the Valkyries defense just lagging behind. So even if there isn't a fast break score, the defense is still kind of trying to get set up, and they always feel like a step behind, because even though they did finally make a three, they still shot 7 of 38 from three last night, 18.9%. Overall shot 23 of 72. Now, Washington did not shoot that much better, though they did shoot a little bit better. But where the Valkyries won the game, to me, was on the free throw line. They shot 82% from the line, and made some clutch free throws. Veronica Burton was 7 of 8. Kayla was 6 of 6.
It was Carla, because you just made me think about that. Carla could be also getting the nod because she gets to the line. She creates contact, and as much as she gets, you know, slammed to the ground, it's because she's kind of creating contact. So that could be
off
a reason to have her in that
the
line.
Top of your head, Who were the top plus minuses on the team?
I think I already looked at this, so this might be cheating. Kayla.
Kayla was one. She was a plus 19.
Burton?
No, Burton was even. She was flat even, which is kind of weird. No, it was Carla Late. She was a plus 17 in her 21 minutes. Poor Kate Martin played only 9 minutes in this game, and she was a minus 15. So she was in a lot of that run that I was saying that Washington made when I was like, man, they're going to run away with this game already.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was a new player who we hadn't seen yet, Stephanie Talbot. I still can't figure out what her game is. I guess she's kind of a 3-and-D, but she didn't really do much. She put up two shots. They were both threes. She missed them. She only played eight
minutes. There is a rough patch of a minute. So when she got checked in, I was like, oh, shoot, Stephanie Talbot's playing. And for those who don't know, she was our expansion draft pick from the Los Angeles Sparks. She hasn't played yet. She was injured. So those two preseason games, that first game, I've said on this podcast that when her and Zanda Lassini are healthy, they will be in this rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Talbot got absolutely crossed.
I thought she tore ACL.
Absolutely crossed by Emily Englister. Uh-huh. I don't know how to pronounce
her
last name.
She was the one. She has a lot of the tattoos on her arms.
Yeah, yeah. And so then she has a nice drive to the bucket, kicks it to Kiki for the bucket, and it's like, oh man, like that's rough.
By the way, I don't want to make jokes about ACL injuries because I don't know if you followed this, but have you seen the studies with women tearing their ACL way more often than men? And I think Sue Bird, and I forget the name of Sue Bird's partner, but she played soccer.
Megan Rapinoe.
They're kind of like putting the word out and saying how a lot of it is probably hormonal related. So there's going to be some studies out there about the ACLs. And, you know, I think science is finally paying attention, I guess. I'm sure people in the know, but I think there's going to be more studies based on that. So I didn't want to make it's just what it looked like. We've seen this happen a lot. Someone gets crossed over and everyone goes, oh, that's what happened.
Yeah. And so she got crossed. Then literally the following possession, the Valkyries are now on offense. They kick it to her in the left corner. She puts up a shot, gets blocked by Emily. So she got crossed by Emily, and then literally the following possession, blocked from three. And that's like, you know, she's getting back into the swing of things. But that was just a rough, like, hey, welcome back type of stretch for her.
Was there a specific lineup that you want to see? Because they get the Sparks again on Friday, and I imagine they're going to make some adjustments. So later today, when most people listen to this, adding Janelle definitely gives them a different look, especially you know, defensively, because she's so long. She's got those long arms, and I kind of wonder. I sort of see Janelle, and I have an NBA brain, so I apologize for that, but I'm thinking about things in the NBA scope, but she seems like way more of a stretch four than a three to me. Just that, you know, when you utilize that lineup, because she's so athletic and she can actually get out to the wing, if she can hit that jumper a little bit more consistently, maybe that's the way they open up the floor for some of the stuff that you were talking about, where you can maybe stick Kate in the corner and get her. Because that's what they were doing. They were running their offense to get corner threes, and they were just missing a lot of them. But those corner threes are open. Like those things are there for the making, which is why I said if Carla can make that shot, she's going to play. For some reason, I don't remember Kate being in the corner, but I think it was it Kayla? Yeah, Kayla was 2 of 8, and I feel like all eight were like right in the corner.
And they're all pretty wide open.
Yeah, and they were there for the taking. So that is what they're trying to do. And, you know, Natalie, she's just like, she keeps saying, she's like, let her rip. Like she keeps saying it. So she's not, doesn't look like she's too frustrated with, you know, 7 for 37 or whatever. She wants them to keep shooting them. So
guess who could hit that shot?
Who?
You stay. It's like I see so many wide open ones, and I'm like, dude, there's someone who's just in the roster but not here that can hit that shot. But I think a lineup now, I'm starting to like see the vision with like, you got to keep Veronica out there just because Julie and Carla's like defensive ability is like, and especially with that, you know, these guards kind of going off on them. So I think they're onto something with the one that they were using to close the game with Veronica, Carla, Kayla, Janelle, and then they flip-flop like Temi and Monique based on like offense versus defense. But I think I want to see more Julie with Janelle and what that looks like. If you're that, because Julie is someone who, you know, is able to create a little bit of an advantage as well with her playmaking. So you just have more advantage creators, then maybe you have more success for players like Kate. But then that just opens the defensive question. So, you know, I think 11 were active last night and you had 10 play. No Kiara Linskins. Mm-hmm. So.
When is the other woman going to be ready? Do you know? Have they said?
Xander Lucini. I haven't seen an injury update for Xander Lucini yet. But she's going to play. And I wonder who's going to start getting some of these DMPs. So we know Linskins is probably going to get DMP'd. Maybe it's matchup related. Maybe if there's someone who's insanely large out there that, you know, they need to put someone like Linskins, although she's 6'4", just like Monique, just like Temi, I believe. She has more of an imposing size where it looks like she can move, you know, players more than the other two. So maybe she'll get run some of these other games, but I wonder who else is going to hit that DMP once Xander Lucini comes back, because Xander Lucini was literally in Minnesota's like finals rotation. I can't imagine she doesn't touch the floor for the Valkyries. Like that might be Kate starting to hit the bench, but yeah, I want Kate to figure it out. I really do. So I think, you know, you go more of an off. And oh, the last thing I want to say about this game is that I think, you know, when they hit their stride in that first game, when they went on a run, it was like that Julie Van Loo three-pointers in the third. But when they went on their run for this game, it was like fourth quarter when they needed it. When, you know, Burton hits a three, Kayla hits a three, Carla hits a three. It was just a three-point barrage. Like Veronica just opened the floodgates for everyone to start making it at the right time. And I feel like that was the difference there. They just kind of got going at the right time. This was a game that, you know, they could have won. I do think the Mystics were kind of on a 2-0 start that, you know, arguably they aren't, you know, they're going to be on the bottom with the Valkyries and Connecticut. So
yeah, but they have young energy as well. Kiki didn't have a great offensive game, but she still had 12 rebounds. And Citron didn't have a great shooting game, but she still had 8 rebounds. And she, you know, when she shoots the basketball, it just looks like it's going in. She has such a clean shot.
Yeah.
So it'll be, you know, it'll be fun. And then if, you know, if Sykes continues to fill it up like that, they'll be in games. I don't know. I know when Sabrina Merchant did her first power poll last week, the Mystics were below the Valkyries in her poll. And then they went out and won 2 games in a row. And then they lost this third one to the Valkyries. So who knows? It's so early in the season.
Yeah, it's like a classic power ranking when a bad team starts off the year hot and then you have to kind of put them up there even though you don't truly believe it, and then they come back to earth. But their next few opponents here for the Valkyries, we have LA tomorrow, and then we have a double New York at New York. So at LA, at New York, home for Minnesota next Sunday, and then at Phoenix next Thursday.
I mean, and you're out of town next week until when?
I'm out of town next week from Tuesday until Friday. Okay. So I could be back for that Sunday game. I would love to see Nafisa Collier in person. So
that would be crazy.
Yeah. And it looks like it's a cheaper game. Again, smaller market. They don't realize how good this Minnesota team is. I would love to see them in person and take advantage of that price point.
So if you and I record, because I had an we got a comment on YouTube today saying, where's the recap from the game last night? And I was like, oh, we're recording tonight. We're not going to record after every game. It's just kind of impossible, but we'll try and record, especially because we're doing these shorter shows. We'll see if we can go more than once a week, but it'll at least be once a week. Next week it may have to be on the weekend though.
Do you have any last takes? Since, I mean, this was a recap.
I was just so impressed with how Veronica Burton was like the adult. She was just like, I'm going to manage this game. I'm going to point guard us to victory. Yeah. And then when I need to hit a shot, I'm going to hit it. I'm going to be clutch. And I was so impressed by just the way that she handled that whole thing. But to get to the end of this, so we're going to be on You Stay Watch a little bit this year. How are people going to be able to watch some of her game? Like, where would you even watch them? Are they on YouTube? Like, how does that stuff work?
I know the FIBA YouTube channel was like live streaming some games throughout the year. I don't know if they had the rights to, you know, the French league that You Stay was playing in. But for Eurobasket, I've got to imagine at the very least, Eurobasket is widely able to be viewed by everyone. But I know for some of her French playoff games, I was like in the Reddit streams, like someone's got to have a link to this. And it was a terrible link. Like I think only like the French TV services had like had the game. So but I imagine for Eurobasket, everyone's going to be able to watch that. We will update it as we find out, but I don't
know.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to pay, we're going to pay attention. So we'll update folks on,
yeah,
you know, what
might June be 18th, I believe it starts.
So we've got a month.
Yep.
Okay. And for folks who haven't checked out the interview, we have the full audio version that is in the BSPN podcast network feed. We have the full podcast on the YouTube channel, and I've also just clipped out Brian's interview also on the YouTube, and then I just took a little 2-minute version of that interview where Yuste says that she's not coming this year, but you know, there is an agreement between her and the team in case people are writing a story about her, they want to use that little YouTube embed. It's there for people to utilize if they do want to use it for her stories. We have her on record as saying she is not coming and what her plan is. So that is there for people to check out and utilize as well. So we'll be back. And by the time we're back to talk about this team, there's going to be like another 3 games, I think, under their belt. So Brian may have to do some catching up. I don't know how he's going to watch them on vacation, but I'll be out there for one day with you, but you're going to be gone for longer than me. All right. That is it from here. Our second episode of Valk's Valley. For Bri, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.